Today's 5 at 5 brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff Dogs in Middle Tennessee State tomorrow. Who needs to step up for Georgia? Who do we want to see step up tomorrow?
Big picture, somebody's got to get them a couple of quarterback sacks tomorrow. So let's say, Tyler Clark and Jonathan Ledbetter. And, hey, secondary got two picks last week. It was great. Nearly had a third. What do you say we get an interception for our man Richard LeCount tomorrow? I think big number for the Dogs. 3-3. Let's get at least 3 sacks, 3 interceptions, because they're going to throw the football. Stock still's really good.
What did we play? We said 82 guys in the
83.
83 guys against Austin Peay. I mean, is the number going to be the same tomorrow?
I would say somewhere probably in the 70s. I mean, unless it's really tight. But I think the plan is to get a lot of players in there tomorrow.
What's the acceptable final score that we can stomach?
Georgia 40s, Middle Tennessee under 20.
Okay. The Middle Tennessee scores 3 times. Okay with that?
Wouldn't be great with it, but you know, hey, yeah, 45-10, I would take.
If Mel Tucker wants his phone to keep ringing for head coaching jobs, he better give up fewer than 7 points, because that's all Vandy gave up to him.
Yeah, I never really went back and looked too closely at a box from that game. I don't know if Middle turned it over a lot in that one, but. I think you're going to get a good performance. They had a great bounce-back win against UT, Martin, last week, scoring 62 points.
I hope they don't score that many tomorrow. If they do,
that would be very bad.
That would be a very bad thing.
That would be – but, no, he's a good quarterback, so – and I think you'll see Georgia come out and play well tomorrow. I really do. I think you'll see Georgia play a lot of kids. I also don't think with – Kirby, I don't think you're going to see Georgia go out there and score like 70 or something. So I would expect in the 40s
right.
for the Bulldogs, and somewhere between 0 and 17 for Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee, they turned it over twice. They threw a pick, and Vandy returned a fumble for a touchdown in that game.
So that's how it got.
So Vandy did have a knot, and Middle did turn it over a couple times. Let's see. I mean, they had 21 first downs, and they ended up with 294 total yards. They averaged 4 yards a play. That's not great.
No.
But they did have a couple of turnovers, ended up with 7 points.
But they'll sling it. Rick Stockstill's a good coach. The son, Brent Stockstill's really good, a really good quarterback, like we said. You know, they're one of those schools. They were very good at 1AA, and – Georgia Southern and App State fell into this, and I get that lure of Division 1A, and there's just that feeling, well, there's more money, we should move up. I've still got to think for some of these schools, like, golly, you were in playoffs, a chance to play for national championships. You know, now, I mean, the goal is to go 7-5 and go to the New Orleans Bowl. That was always, being a Georgia fan my whole life, I know – a lot of Georgia Southern folks were always, we want to get up Division 1A. It's like, do you really?
Well, because, I mean, now they're playing on Wednesday nights.
Look who is here.
Hey, look at that. It's John DuPont.
The great John DuPont. Linda, go say, hey, that is a great American.
There
right
he
there.
Is.
Holy cow. That is one of our favorite guys.
That is
right
a blast
there.
From the past right
oh,
there.
Oh, my gosh. Mike Tingle's quaking in his boots.
Oh, yeah. You better wear. He better be, too.
Oh, my gosh. That is – I'm thrown asunder right now. But that is that's fantastic stuff. But, Chris, I'll give you one name. I'll say one of the defensive line. I'll give you Tyler Clark tomorrow. I mean, he's playing great. Let's see, at linebacker, how about Walter Grant? I want to see my man LeCount get his first pick tomorrow.
Will we have a 100-yard rusher?
I think there's a good chance.
How many games has Georgia gone without having a 100-yard rusher? What's the longest Georgia's been on that?
We had one year when Brent Milliken led us in rushing where he had 99 in a game, and that was a high for the season in the late 90s when Quincy was a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, we never had a 100-yard rusher at all that whole season.
It might have been it was either in 99 or 2000. That would have been in 2000.
I remember that year when Milliken led the team
in
rushing.
That was in 2000 because Sanks had a couple of 100-yard games in 99, so it must have been in 2000. But, yeah, I mean, and especially, once – Noshon got here, and then Gurley and
Chubb, Michelle. And, yeah. You got Swift and Holyfield and Harrigan, but we've got 2 games without a 100-yard rusher. But we did We won 45-0 and 41-17, so please don't. I'm not complaining, except I would like to see Swift get to 100 yards at some point this year.
There'll be a game where it's big, where it's important to have that 100-yard rusher, that guy. I mean, those stats don't lie. If you've got a 100-yard rusher and the other team does it, you're going to win a vast majority. It opens up so much more.
Because at least for the Swift and the Heisman future, I can't think – there's not a guy right now that's, like, jumping off the page. And I know we're talking about 2 weeks into the season, but if the season ended right now, who's getting that trophy? I don't know. I mean, I have no idea.
I mean, just somebody who's put up
crazy. Kyler Murray, he's been really good.
Yeah, but there you go. Will Greer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a huge game against Tennessee. You know, they're no good.
Hey, they're about to be 2-1.
They are about to be 2-1, but they also might be their last win until November. Unless they could somehow spring an upset against the Gators next week in Neyland Stadium.
I'm going to tell you what's going to be interesting, though, for whoever loses that Tennessee-Florida game, the first-year coaching card, that's going to be hard to play because guess what? The other guy's got a first-year coach. To me, Dan Mullen's biggest game this year is Florida State.
Agreed, but, you know, if they were to lose next week at Tennessee and then their next two games are Mississippi State and LSU –
yeah.
All of a sudden, like, the wheels start coming off there pretty fast, don't they?
Love it.
You know, Tennessee, it's to be – they got Georgia, Auburn, Bama, and then they've got that road game at South Carolina on the tail end of that. All right, moving on to the 5-5, Jeff, the Falcons. They host the Panthers on Sunday afternoon. Devontae Freeman now is not going to play in the game. We already know that Neal and Deion Jones are out. Falcons are 0-1, you know. They got to have it.
Yeah,
are they
going to
get it?
I think so, but Chris, those injuries are really stacking up. I'm assuming they'll get Freeman back within a couple of weeks. If they can survive until Deion Jones comes back, what, maybe around week 10 or so, I think they could make a run. What's worrisome for Atlanta, though, you would think that Jones or Neal would be matched up, primarily Jones with Christian McCaffrey. So I think he's going to have a big game. Here's the thing, though. Carolina's got injury woes of their own on the offensive side of the ball. Khalil's out. Greg Olsen's out. You told me they lost their other tackle.
Yeah, their right
as well.
Tackle's hurt, too.
All right, so they've got some injury issues. So this comes down to, listen, Freeman's a terrific back. They need him. Atlanta can go one game with just one back. I mean, Tevin Coleman needs to have a big game. This is the game where Atlanta's offense has got to come up big tomorrow. Got to come up big. So I think Atlanta does get the win. And I'll tell you what, if they don't, that's a beaten-up football team that's 0-2 with a division loss already. That's tough, a home division loss.
Well, yeah, and then any doubt that you have about, like, can we somehow still have a good season with the losses that they've taken in on defense? And then, you know, the answer to that is no. I still like Atlanta to win Sunday too. I think you do find that teams that do have some injury attrition are at least able to somehow, they're able to overcome that for one game. Big picture, though, when you're without guys like that, it's going to be hard to sustain that. I like that the Falcons tweeted out, too, that still frustrated by the red zone struggles against the Eagles, this play-by-play explanation from OC Steve Sarkisian is worth a read.
Oh, geez.
So I went, okay, I'll bite and I'll click on it. And lo and behold, well, you know, their guy made a good football play on this play. You know, well, that first play, we got down to the one. Then the second play, their guy made a good football play. And on the third play, you know, their guy made a good football play. And then on the fourth play, you know, we got what they wanted, but their guy made a good football play.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah, we all saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say the fourth down play, I hate the handoff sweep from under center, but it's – That play, at first it looked like it might be okay. It was just going a little too wide.
Too wide, yeah.
That Philly defense is just too tough.
To me, it's just if you think out loud, like, we need 1 yard, does it sound like a good idea to run, like, 15 yards sideways to get that 1 yard? It just – when you say that out loud, it's like, oh, no. Well, no, that doesn't seem like the most efficient way to do that.
Boy, and then you could really feel the pressure mount when Atlanta got down there that last time. At least they had Julio in the game for that. I mean, he wasn't in the first time they got down there.
Well, you know, when you look at some of the numbers from week one, I mean, Julio was the most targeted player inside the 10-yard line in the red zone in week one. So it's not even like, hey, the Falcons don't throw to Julio in the red zone. They were throwing to him.
He actually caught the ball the last time Atlanta threw it.
Yeah.
He was just out of bounds.
It was just a out-of-bounds throw because Ryan didn't put any of those in even a spot where they had a chance to be caught.
No, that's one, too, where you start to wonder, like, okay, if Atlanta can't just bang it in there, and I get it. Listen, these NFL defensive lines are so massive. I don't care how good you are on the offensive front. If you're playing a good team, just to think that you're going to just knock some defensive front back 4 yards like a blocking sled, that's just not really realistic. You know, what Atlanta might need, I mean, is Hooper a guy they should target a little bit more? I mean, that's where in close, if you throw it, that tight end can come into play.
Yeah, but they've been, you know, they had the best ever playing for him for a couple of years, and they've definitely been missing that position ever since Tony Gonzalez retired. Although I guess he's been gone for a while now because he'll be in the Hall of Fame next year.
Will.
So
I mean, here's the thing. If they don't shore up the red zone deal, they're not going to have a great year. Because if you got an offense like that, now the defense is beaten up, you don't get touchdowns, you're not going to have a great season.
Well, and at some point, I mean, the whether he just flat out gets fired or just has the responsibility taken away from him, since Greg Knapp is in the is on the coaching staff now, I think, I mean, Sarkisian won't be calling plays the whole season if they can't get it figured out.
No, I agree.
All right, but besides the Falcons, Jeff, who might be number one on the list of don't just need it, got to have it, you know, we got half the league that's 0-1, half the league is 1-0, except for those two teams that are 0-0-1. So a couple of these 0-1 teams that want to avoid going 0-2, who are they?
That I think are playoff contenders, Chargers and 49ers.
Okay.
You're playing the two teams that look like the two worst teams in the league week one. You got to win those games.
Since the Saints were 0-2 last year, are we giving them a pass? They can go 0-2?
4 years in a row, but – I mean, they lost to Tampa. It's Cleveland going there.
If they're 0-2 with a home loss to the Clowns.
Yeah, they're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, I would have to concur.
So I would say the Saints are my number three. I'd probably say Chargers 1, Niners 2, Saints 3.
Yeah. I mean, if the Saints win that game, then they come to Atlanta next week and then have at the Giants and then home against Washington. So –
boy, they really – all the division games, at least in the South, are all very early and then very late. The interesting twist on the schedule for Atlanta is their first three division games are all at home. That's another reason they need to win, because their last three in late November and December are all on the road.
Yeah, including their last two games.
Is that the last two games overall?
The last two games overall are against the
Carolina,
the Panthers,
Tampa,
and the Bucks.
Yeah, that's rough.
And then they've got – I mean, they play the Packers in December. Basically, three of their last four games are on the road.
That's tough.
Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers does not lose at home in December.
No.
If he's quarterback, and then, you know, he's been hurt. He hadn't practiced all week.
Yeah, they should just sit him against Minnesota.
But, Mike McCarthy says that he doesn't care if Aaron Rodgers doesn't practice. He could still play Sunday if he wants to.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, DeShone Kizer, really?
Well, last year they had Brett Hundley. You know, it's like, I guess it doesn't matter. But that, you know, that's good that they added Kizer, because that is pretty much without Aaron Rodgers, they're the Browns. So,
I mean, you just look at some of these backups, and I mean, I get it. There's going to be a substantial drop off, especially when you're talking about Rodgers, who's one of the best ever. But this is one where do you kind of have to look at the scouting? I mean, I know from watching college football, and granted, they're different styles. There are more good quarterbacks out there that we see in college than there are backups in the pros.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't get it.
The Eagles have a good backup, as we found out.
Yeah, they've got a great one. But I mean, just in theory, if like, let's say five good quarterbacks come out a year, okay? Just let's just say it. I'm not saying five Hall of Famers, but five competent quarterbacks. Over a 10-year period, I mean, that's 50 guys, okay? So that's 30 – at least half of the 32 teams should have a decent backup. I don't know, some do, but
– but pretty much every team, if they lose their starting quarterback, the season is basically
except
flushed.
The Super Bowl champions.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, finally wrapping up the 5 at 5. Give me the, you know, the ultimate viewing guide for tomorrow, the top five games in the country. And we'll always obviously assume Georgia
is
State.
Number one. You got Auburn, LSU. You got Alabama and Ole Mississippi. You have got Ohio State and TCU.
Okay. Yeah, you got to put that on there.
You have to put that in there. the old traditional is going to tell me, even though I'm like you, I don't know. I mean, the Texas USC, for whatever reason, it's not drumming up a lot of interest in me. But it's Texas and USC.
Now, Boise and Oklahoma State's bigger.
Okay, I'll give you that, Boise and Oklahoma State. And then I'll give you a Super 6 for just – it's almost like the bad movie you got to watch. Rutgers and Kansas.
Rutgers and Kansas. You know, Pac-12 after dark, though.
That's a good call. Washington and Utah is good, yeah.
Utah can hurt – I think Utah can hurt the Pac-12 tomorrow. If they beat Washington, that's it. The Pac-12's not getting a team in the playoff.
It would be – I mean, Oregon or Stanford would be the only team that could do it.
Yeah, but, I mean, you'd have to believe that they're going to run the table.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know that I'd buy that.
I mean, Stanford could obviously play itself into it. They got a heck of a schedule.
I guess, I mean, could Stanford lose once and win the conference? Sure, because they would have beaten then. They've got at Notre Dame. They're at Oregon. They're at I'm looking. They're at Notre Dame, at Oregon, at Washington.
Yeah,
they're not doing it either. So, I mean, Washington's the best bet there, and they've already got a loss. So, if they lose tomorrow in Salt Lake City, they are that's probably it for the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think Washington will rally. It won't be easy, but I'll take the Huskies in that one. They played a good game against Auburn. They got a good team.
Yeah.
Chris Peterson's a heck of a coach. So is Kyle Whittingham.
Well, you know what? They just couldn't score in the red zone. Kind of like the other team that inhabits that
stadium on Sundays. Exactly right.
All right, so there it is, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.